So let us read together 1 Kings chapter 5 as we continue looking at Solomon's beginning as a king in Israel and also the preparations and the beginning of the work on the temple. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon because he heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father, for Hiram had always loved David. Then Solomon said to Hiram, or sent to Hiram, saying, "You know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the wars which were fought against him on every side until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God as the Lord spoke to my father David, saying, 'Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he shall build the house for my name.' Now therefore command that they cut down cedars for me from Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will pay your wages for your servants according to whatever you say. For you know, there is none among us who has skill to cut timber like the Sidonians." So it was when Hiram heard the words of Solomon that he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord this day, for he has given David a wise son over this great people." Then Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, "I have considered the message which you sent me, and I will do all you desire concerning the cedar and cypress logs. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon to the sea. I will float them in rafts by sea to the place you indicate to me, and will have them broken apart there. Then you can take them away, and you shall fulfill my desire by giving food for my household." Then Hiram gave Solomon cedar and cypress logs according to all his desire. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household, and 20 cores of pressed oil. Thus Solomon gave Hiram year by year. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, as he had promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty together. Then King Solomon raised up a labor force out of all Israel, and the labor force was 30,000 men. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month in shifts. They were 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of the labor force. Solomon had 70,000 who carried burdens and 80,000 who quarried stone in the mountains, besides 3,300 from the chiefs of Solomon's deputies who supervised the people and labored in the work. And the king commanded them to quarry large stones, costly stones, and huge hewn stones to lay the foundation of the temple. So Solomon's builders, Hiram's builders, and the Gebalites quarried them, and they prepared timber and stones to build the temple. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, we notice that Solomon had a need. We as human beings often struggle. Well, I need this or I need that. God hasn't just given it to me. It's very interesting to me to think about, because we as human beings often demand God do this and that and the other thing for us. As I prayed earlier, we want God to sign the bottom line on our desires instead of us signing his desires, signing his perfect will. God doesn't always give us what we directly need in his service. Solomon had to figure out how to get it, to build a temple. Notice what he says about the people in Israel. "There are none among us who have skill to cut timber like the Sidonians." Well, why didn't God just give rulership over Sidon? God didn't do that way. God doesn't always give us directly the things that we want and we need in his service. We need to work in this world. God calls us to work. If we do not work, God says, we have made shipwreck of the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. We're called to work and we're called to use the wisdom that God has given to us to obtain those things that are not immediately available. Now, we don't always know why God doesn't provide these things directly. But He is, as we have already heard this morning, all-wise, has a good reason for it. And God calls us to live in and among this world, to be a witness to this world through our dealings with those around us. We as Christians live in the midst of the world. Notice the progression of what happens in this chapter. As we look at Solomon's dealing with Hiram, Hiram sends servants just to greet Solomon, to say, "It's good, you're king now. Great. I," he said, "loved your father David." And Solomon takes the opportunity to say, "Let's work together a little bit. Let's do more than just greet each other." So often I've been involved in some levels of interchurch relations, and we get together at these meetings and we say, "Good to see you." That's the end of it. Well, we as churches need to work together with churches of like precious faith to bring the gospel to a world that is so in need. But that's not just the only place. We need to work in the world so that people see us as Christians living the life of a Christian in this world. And guess what? Yes, we're going to fail. We're not going to do it perfectly. But as we continue in the progression here, first of all, Hiram begins to have a level of honor and respect for Solomon as Solomon works with him. Verse 7, "Blessed be the Lord this day, for he has given David a wise son over this great people." God brings about peace between these nations. There was peace, verse 12, between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty together. And notice as well how the people worked with Hiram's men, with the men of, Tyre. Solomon's, verse 18, builders, Hiram's builders, and the Gebalites quarried them and prepared timber and stones to build the temple. Now, this is a point in history where people outside of the chosen people were looked down upon. The word that's used in Hebrew is goyim, which kind of means dirty. Worse than that, quite honestly. But what we have to see is living and working in this world brings opportunities to bring the gospel to them. Notice, going back to verse 7, what Hiram says. It says, "Blessed be," notice how that word "Lord" is written in your Bibles. It's in capitals. That means that's the name of God, Yahweh. "Blessed be Yahweh this day, because he has given David a wise son." Notice that even though Hiram probably didn't come down to Jerusalem to worship, he knew of God. It's an opportunity as a Christian to live in this world and for others to learn from us, not by us beating them over the head with the gospel, but by living the gospel, which, by the way, as everyone says, actions speak far louder than words. That we live the gospel in front of the world. Now the question has been asked, is there enough evidence, if you were in a court of law, to convict you of being a Christian? The question to me is not, is there enough evidence for the court of law? The question for me is, does the person we run into realize that we're a Christian? Not because we have something on our t-shirt. What does God say? "They shall know that you are Christians by your love." Living in love in a manner that this world can't even begin to imagine. And so, as we look at this passage, we see that the building of God's temple is the central labor of his people. There are so many parallels as we look at this. I'm not going to have time to cover the tenth of what's in really parallel in this passage. What are we? The Apostle Peter says we're living stones built up into a temple of God, building God's temple as the central labor of His people, glorifying God. Where do we worship God? Jesus says that when He's talking to the Samaritan woman, she says, "We worship here, you worship in Jerusalem." And Jesus says, "There is a time coming when the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth." The temple of God is where God's people are gathered together. I love the fact that we have the radio ministry, and I understand at this time of COVID that people don't want to gather together so much. And brothers and sisters, the temple is gathered together where the people of God are gathered together. When we are not able to gather together, there is a brokenness there. It is not the way it's supposed to be. So as we look at this passage, we look at the temple of God being built. And I'm going to take time as we go past. There's rest being spoken of. The Israel had rest from the battles that were going on. Of course, Christ has given us perfect rest. We talked about that already this morning. So David was unable to build the temple. Now Solomon begins. And we start out with Hiram's care for David. Now the Bible doesn't spend a lot of time on it. We see here his respect for David. We see in 2 Samuel 5:11, "Then Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house." Kind of interesting. David didn't order that. They built him. Hiram later in this passage, as we've said, uses God's name. David, through his interaction with him, obviously had the opportunity to influence him with the truth of God. And Solomon's interaction would certainly extend this. Too often we as people, and certainly Paul says that bad company corrupts good morals, but people don't want to deal with the world and its brokenness. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5:9 through 11, "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters." Notice it's not just sexually immoral. There's a lot of problems in the world. "Since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone who is named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person." It says, don't go out of the world. In fact, we have a purpose in this world. What did Jesus say? Be salt and light. Every once in a while, my good wife makes food, but sometimes she omits the salt. You want a little bit in there, don't you? But you don't eat a meal of salt, do you? And we're called as Christians not... God doesn't put us here like salt on a plate that's inedible. But we're to flavor and we're to preserve this world. We're to be a part of it. We're not to be segregated in the salt shaker somewhere, otherwise known as a church. We need to live in this world. And God had provided rest. David could not build a house for God's name because of the wars that he had fought and had been fought against him. God hates killing, and that is certainly the principle in the background here. Yet David had to do a lot of it, even in God's service. 1 Chronicles 22:8, "But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'You have shed much blood, and you have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on earth in my sight.'" Notice this was at God's command. Yet God would not allow David to then build his temple because he had shed that blood. God very much cares about the blood that is shed. And there are so many applications of that today. God cares. And think back to Abel. His righteous blood, God said, cries out from the ground. When righteous blood is shed across this world by those who persecute Christians, God hears. God will work on their behalf. And as well with regard to abortion and so many other things, when innocents are killed. Now God provides rest on every side. God had promised this. We read about that quoted as well in 1 Chronicles 22 verse 9. Behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give him peace and quietness to Israel in his days. Now, we read about rest here, but God tells us that Jesus brings us rest, perfect rest, not just earthly rest, which Solomon lived, Solomon ruled for a few years, there was rest, and then immediately what happened upon his death? The kingdom was torn in two. Jeroboam began to teach the 10 tribes to do evil and not to worship God. Our rest cannot be in things on this earth. I like home shows on TV once in a while, but they want to have their rest in their house. A nice house is nice. But brothers and sisters, believe me, our rest in Christ is far more than just having a nice house, because at least in our house, it takes 20 seconds, and it's a pit already. Maybe that works better for some of you who don't have kids around. But God provides rest on every side. And if you think about Solomon misused the rest that God gave him. And we so easily misuse the rest that God gives us, instead of using it to his glory. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time, but the writer to the Hebrews tells us that there is a rest waiting for us in heaven. And we are called to rest on this world in Christ. In fact, as we think about Solomon and the building of the temple, notice that the people of Israel that were involved in building the temple, the direct people of Israel, there were some slaves involved, but from other nations, but particularly the people of Israel, had 1 month on and 2 months off of labor. We as human beings get so uptight about getting stuff done. We can rest in God. He takes care of us far better than we ever could. And so Solomon desires to build a house for the name of God. Notice just briefly that it is only for God's name. Solomon is quite right when he states in the dedication of the temple that the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. And so this is a fulfillment again that we read from verse 5 of God's promise to David. And so Solomon uses the opportunity of Tyre sending servants to him to seek a contract for the wood and labor necessary to build the temple. And we say contract negotiations in the Bible? Believe. God had not given Solomon, as we said, everything he needed for the purpose of building the temple. In fact, he didn't even have the workers able to handle it. He had to use the wisdom God had given him to get the things necessary to serve God in a way that God had planned for him to serve. And they often our interaction with this world often requires us to interact with the world in a way that gives us an opportunity to witness the gospel to them. And we're called to take that opportunity, not as, and I know I'm a sinful idiot, when I go out places, I'm often like, well, I don't really want to wear a Christian t-shirt because I might make a mistake. No, we need to wear it and realize. And when we fail, as we talked about in the Sunday school with regard to forgiveness, be ready to confess instead of hiding. Saying, no, I'm just like all the rest of y'all. We must be careful to fulfill our end of contracts, even if we're providentially hindered, and it can be very difficult. We need to be careful to do those things. And Solomon says, there's none among us who has skill to cut timber like the Sidonians. They had the best workers available. Now, this is perhaps a little bit of flattery, but perhaps not. Compliments get people's attention. Sometimes those working in the world have a better knowledge of some part of the world than we do. This ought not make us afraid as Christians, make us think that, well, then obviously we don't know everything we need to know. Even Plato realized that, that people who have knowledge in one area may not have knowledge in others. And we as Christians need to understand that overarching everything is God's Word. And Hiram at the beginning is the beginning to respect Solomon's wisdom too. As we read there in verse 7, "Blessed be the Lord this day, for he has given Solomon a wise son over this great people." As we said, Hiram, king of Tyre, has been influenced insofar that he already knows God's name. And God uses Hiram of Tyre to provide skill in building materials. As we said, a contract. Solomon seeks cedar and cypress logs. Solomon provides or promises to supply workers to assist. And Hiram agrees to send the logs. And he tells him how he's going to get the logs to Solomon. Verse 9. "The price will be food for his household." And what Solomon supplies is food for essentially the whole nation of Tyre. 100,000 bushels of wheat. And if I think a better text says 20,000 cores or 100,000 bushels of pressed oil yearly. It's a lot of provision. We remember that Solomon was richly blessed because of the wisdom God had given to him. And so the contract is fulfilled. The rubber meets the road. Things are getting done. The temple is being prepared and built. And we have abundance of food and we have abundance of supplies. And there is peace, verse 12, between Hiram and Solomon. Working together often brings peace. We live in a world that has become so segregated, and I'm sorry, I think this COVID thing and stuff like that is only segregating things and making problems greater. We need as people to live together, to work together. And I don't know what the correct answer is. I'm not saying I'm all wise with regard to that. But I think we need to be careful that we do not just spend our time separate. Use the abilities we have, whether it's phone, whether it's internet, not to argue with one another and complain, but rather to express love, to share, to enjoy one another, to fellowship around Christ. Use these things for the glory of God, not for the brokenness of our current situation. And Solomon uses Israel to build the temple. We have drafty labor. Now we think of the draft today about being about war. The draft in Israel was about building God's temple. We read in a couple of chapters, 1 Kings 9:20-22, all the people who were left of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, who were not of the children of Israel, that is, their descendants who were left in the land after them, whom the children of Israel had not been able to destroy completely, from these Solomon raised forced labor, as it is this day. And so Solomon did not have forced laborers from Israel, but he had certainly people working for him. We talked about the people, we read about 30,000 that went to Lebanon, and they worked with the people of Lebanon. And they were on for a month, and then they were off for 2 months. But then above that, we had 70,000 carrying burdens, 80,000 quarrying stones from the mountains, and 3,300 chief deputies supervising. I didn't do the math on that, but that's a pretty low, really, percentage. We live in a culture that thinks we have to have lots of chiefs, a few Indians. And Solomon's son, we realize later on, would be asked to lighten the load placed upon Israel. And of course, we know what happened there. But they began to build and to prepare for the temple. They quarried stones that were unimaginable, costly stones, hewn stones. One thing that always boggles my mind is the Bronze Sea that was built. It was 15 feet across, bronze, a hand breadth thick. Held 12,000 gallons. Think of the weight of that water, let alone the weight of the bronze and everything involved in it. And it was finally cut up by, if you've been following along and reading in the Bible readings, it wasn't that long ago we read about it being cut up and brought off to Babylon. Brothers and sisters, we're called to live as those who are building God's temple. That we work and labor in this world, that we have influence in this world as salt and light. We're not to hide. We're called to be Christians in front of the world. And we're called to be sanctifying, setting apart God's temple by the labors that are involved there. Using the means of grace, reading the Word of God, hearing it preached, participating in the sacraments, praying, that we as Christians are called to be a part of that, used by God. And we might say, man, there's better laborers somewhere else. Guess what? God has placed us in the place to labor, to build, and to clean up the stone that we are for the glory of Almighty God as a part of His temple. And God can use you and I. Not just the temple that was torn down a couple thousand years ago, but the temple built up of living stones. And you and I are a part of that, not because we're worthy, but we are called to keep that temple. Do you not know that your temple, that you are a temple, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We're called to keep it to the glory of God. Be careful about what we do with our bodies, what we do with our minds, and that we are called to glorify God as stones built up to that temple of our awesome Savior, who brings us greater peace than Solomon ever had, who provides more richly. Solomon, silver was as the dust. The new heavens and the new earth, gold will be the rocks under our feet. What an awesome Savior and God we have. And that's just one partial example of the glory that we have prepared for us in the new heavens and earth. Amen. Let us bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the awesomeness, for the beauty of Solomon's temple, for the labors involved. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us as well to be those who beautify Your temple. For we are stones built up into that temple. And we pray, Lord, that we would use the bodies that You have given to us to the glory and the honor of Your holy name. For the worship as well as the service of our awesome Savior, our King, who gives us greater peace than Solomon ever could, who provides for us more richly and abundantly than Solomon ever could. And we pray, O Lord, help us to see the wonders, the grace that You have toward us. And help us, Lord, then as well, to live as witnesses in this world, not hiding what we are as Christians, but living it to Your glory and to Your honor. For we pray these things through our Savior Jesus Christ, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.